just 5 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Man, that hour just flew by. We talked to Nathaniel Hackett. We talked a little CSU Rams Nevada Wolfpack tonight. We looked at Aaron Rodgers again and the prospect of him becoming a member of the Denver Broncos. How much better would it make this team? This is going to be an interesting time in Broncos country, isn't it? You know, as far as Rodgers, new head coach, all of this stuff. There's a lot of things. And now, okay, we got NoCo Now's Tanner Schwint losing his mind today because Sean Payton is stepping away from the Saints. And he's like, hey, bring him over. I'm not there. Dan Quinn, I'm listening, but I'm kind of done with the coach that's done it all. Now, I'm not saying he's a bad coach, but he's a great coach. I mean, but why? You've got your interview process. I don't think that's going to change. The only thing that maybe changes is that, you know, maybe Jameis Winston is now free agent because I think Sean Payton liked Jameis Winston. So does that factor into the quarterback discussion? Suddenly that does. I mean, I don't know. Does Winston move the needle for you guys? Or is he in that Garoppolo territory? Now, Winston has certainly had his ups and downs. I mean, until he got hurt for the Saints, he seemed like he was kind of rolling, man. He was rolling. So it does present a little more of an appealing prospect than Jimmy G. But you do need options. Quarterback, you certainly need options. If Pickett's not the answer, or if he is the answer, I mean, do you want a bridge guy? Man, I hate the idea, though, of drafting a quarterback in the top 10 with the thought process of not being able to start him fairly soon. And it's the era that we live in now. That if you draft a guy in the top 10, you do expect him more than likely to play now. And I think I'm starting to fall in line with that. So I want to take a top 10 guy, and I want him to make a quick impact on my football team. So if you go get a Winston and a Garoppolo, but you still think you're going to draft a quarterback, man, I just think draft the guy and go with it then. If you think Pickett's the guy, then put him in and become a running team for the first year, first half a year. Just run the damn ball and hope you can, hopefully you re-sign a lot of your defense and you can ease him into this process. That does not sound as sexy as bringing Aaron Rodgers to Denver, does it? I mean, no way. There's a lot to sort through. I felt pretty good about Nathaniel Hackett being potentially the coach, you know, as soon as like yesterday, but 9-hour meeting, then he's done. Now we move on and you got to do the Dan Quinn interview. I don't know if they're going to get to the second interviews with everybody. I mean, Kevin O'Connell, you're not going to be able to do that until, you're not going to be able to talk to him until after the NFC Championship game. And that's the other guy. So it's Dan Quinn, Nathaniel Hackett, Kevin O'Connell. That's where we are now. Eric Bieniemy is out. All those guys are out. All those big names we talked about. So this is it. It's come down to those three guys. And Kevin O'Connell, it's not like I can say Dan Quinn's the clear-cut favorite anymore. Last week I thought we could say that. We got Zach Stevens coming on. And we'll talk to him about all things Broncos, all things coaching search, his thoughts on Aaron Rodgers, on that whole issue. Boy, it's something how a loss in the NFL changes things. If the Packers would have won, and we're talking about them playing in the NFC Championship game this weekend, I don't know if it's, even if they lose in the NFC Championship game, I don't know if you're still having the same conversation we're having today. The fact that you get the first round bye, and then you lose that first game you play, and you lose it like that, changes things. Makes us have a different conversation. I want to shout out to No Limit Collectibles. They got a cool event going on, and it's happening on February 12th. It's called Trade Night. Check it out, Trade Night. Now, they're located by Cables. That's off. That's 1923 59th Ave, if you don't know where that is. It's where my barber is. It's a cool place. There's a bowling alley across the area. Man, there's so many things you can go do. So February 12th, they got Trade Night. All sports memorabilia. They got Pokemon. Bunch of different things to trade. Come in and have fun. Free entry, free drinks, free pizza. And you bring your stuff. See if you can wheel and deal a little bit. Make some things happen. That's No Limit Collectibles. We love No Limit Collectibles and everything they're about. They're now in Greeley, too. So go check them out. 11 minutes after the hour. We're going to take a short break. We're excited for this next guest. I haven't had him on in a while. A lot has happened since we chatted last. But we're going to bring on Colorado State Athletic Director, Joe Parker. And every time I have him on the program, I have a great conversation with him. So we'll get him on the show. Looking forward to that. That's coming up on the other side. You do not want to miss this conversation. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
One sports from the coach. Tune in to Clark and the Coach, weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Just 16 minutes after the hour, welcome back into the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Joining us now on our First Advantage hotline, always look forward to these conversations. Boy, a lot has happened since the last time we talked to this guy. Director of Athletics for Colorado State, Joe Parker. Joe, thanks so much for giving us some time. I know your schedule's crazy, but we appreciate you catching up with us, man.
Yeah, of course, Brady. I can't remember the last time we were together, but it's been a while, so it's good to be on your show.
Yeah, I think, my goodness, the basketball teams both have been fired on all cylinders. Obviously, some changes with the football program, so there's a lot that we have to discuss that we haven't talked about in a while. So, again, I always appreciate it. This is a great time for Colorado State, though, isn't it? I mean, you guys, there's been a lot of success with a lot of these different programs throughout the last couple of seasons, but, you know, obviously basketball, women's basketball, coming off a win last night. You got the men's basketball team going up against Nevada. They continue to do historic things. This is just a special time, and you can see it. It's evident at Moby Arena on those home nights.
Oh, for sure. I mean, the crowd's been great. The student response has been phenomenal. And, yes, I mean, both those teams are really coming together, playing well, and still a lot of conference schedule ahead. But, you know, what they're trying to do is point towards, you know, the tournament and postseason play. So it's going to be exciting to see what both of those teams are able to accomplish.
Joe, when you sat down, you know, a few years ago, and even with the extension with Coach Medved, I mean, did you see it playing out like this so quickly? Because I look at it, and it's not like Coach has been there for that long of a time, but every single year, I think it's fair to say, every year Coach Medved has been the head coach for Colorado State men's hoops, it's just gotten a little bit better every single season.
Yeah, this is his fourth year, so it's not quite a, you know, crazy turn, you know, timeline turnaround, but, you know, it's been steady every year. And when you think about the team that he first inherited and how he had to rebuild the roster and his focus on, you know, really four-year students, it's been a very methodical, incremental way to build a program that's, you know, poised to hopefully be in a position to earn a championship this year.
That was such a crazy transition, too. And I know, Joe, we talked about that transition between coaches when you did move on and bring in Coach Nico Medved. But hearing it from you, what is it about Coach Medved? I mean, we bring him on the show. We talk to him. He's an amazing guy. The players are crazy about him. They're crazy about the entire coaching staff. But from your perspective, when you deal with him, what is it about Medved that just makes him this magnetic guy, but just a great leader of men on the floor and off it?
Yeah, I think, you know, humility is one thing that I recognize from Coach Medved. You know, he understands how to construct a team, how to message into the locker room. You know, he's got high expectations for accountability and leadership within his program. He and his staff work really hard to identify students that are going to accept those responsibilities of being a student athlete here at CSU. And he's done a really, really good job of bringing those type of students together and then, you know, just teaching them very intensively the sport of basketball and how he likes to see it played with a lot of intensity and great defense. And certainly everyone gets a chance to shine offensively. So it's a fun style of basketball to play, and I think he's really been able to identify kids that thrive in that environment.
Yeah, and you know, you hear this, and maybe we've heard it more in the past. I don't know if a lot of people are talking about it now, but, you know, we're saying, hey, is CSU a basketball school? Can it become a basketball school? Well, when you're seeing guys like David Roddy and Isaiah Stevens, without a shadow of a doubt, they're sticking with Colorado State. I mean, it's a no-brainer. When you see those guys succeed, and I mean, we're having big picture conversations about those two guys and what they're going to do beyond their college days. When you look at that, do you say, man, and yes, absolutely, Colorado State is a basketball school, will continue to be a basketball school, and we're going to continue to attract those big-time players.
Yeah, across the board, I mean, what we talk about throughout the entire department is, you know, fostering a championship culture. You know, and a lot of our programs have achieved that, have sustained that, and certainly men's basketball is on that trajectory. And I think about that first class that Nico recruited here with Adam Thistlewood and Kendall Moore. In many ways, they kind of began to really set the culture, but certainly David and Isaiah, you know, have been able to really step up, reinforce, and truly be, you know, leaders of the locker room. But what I like about what Nico has done with this program is I think he's made it clear to every one of the students that, you know, everyone in this locker room is a leader. Every one of us has a responsibility to one another. We're accountable to each other. And if we do all of those things we know day in and day out that we owe to each other, then, you know, great things are going to happen. And I think we've seen that particularly last season and this season, and hopefully it just continues to build in that direction.
Yeah, and you look at some of the young guys coming up too. I mean, when you talk to anybody on this team, they say a lot of what you're saying, Joe. They say great things about, hey, these guys were the reasons I came here, and then they're establishing. Then you talk to David Roddy, and he starts going off about Jalen Lake, and he says, man, that guy is going to be the future of this program. So you do see kind of this full circle thing happening, and like you said, just a few short years to really build this thing up, and to me it's fascinating watching a program grow like this to the point where we are seeing them jump into the top 25, pop out, pop back in, and then obviously have those March Madness discussions.
Absolutely. You know, and that's what they've been, you know, committed to as a team, and that's been really clear from the onset. That's what they were trying to build, and I think, you know, that was the story that, you know, that drew, you know, Kendall and Adam here and Isaiah and David and then the other young men on the roster. You know, they really believe in what Coach Medved and his staff are creating here at CSU, and you know, they love being a part of that. You know, you know, as I said at the onset, you know he's done this, really with almost not quite, but almost an exclusive focus on 4-year students, and I think that's something that fits well with Colorado State. It resonates with our fan base. You know, our folks like to feel like they're integrated into our students' lives and they know who they are. And you know, when you spend, you know, 3, 4, 5 years with you know, the same students, you know, typically on the roster, I think that really helps engage the fan base. And I think that's one of the things that Nico recognized would be successful here at CSU.
I think that's a great point, too, because, you know, obviously everybody wants, you want to have those guys that are growing up through your program. But we know in this day and age, there's going to be, you're adding kind of some of the other key ingredients to it, the transfer situation. Bringing in a guy like Chandler Jacobs, if you're going to do it, bringing in a guy like that, I mean, just, we talked to him last week. He's just an amazing individual, a solid player. But you see that, though. You're building it with your foundation, and then you're able to go out and get some of those high character guys just to add to it. I said in the offseason, Joe, I said, man, the rich get richer with this Colorado State men's basketball program when I saw Chandler Jacobs' name flash.
Yeah, and, you know, Chandler's a great example of how this staff really thought, you know, approached it from a very thoughtful perspective about what would be the right fit for this program, you know, because you introduce a student that hasn't spent his entire career inside the program, and, you know, there's guys on the roster that might question that, but I think they don't they don't question, you know, Nico's leadership, and they trust him. And certainly Chandler's a young man that, you know, he would have fit here as a four-year student or a one-year student. He's just a remarkable, remarkable person and really, you know, understands the role that he can play on this team.
We're talking to Director of Athletics for Colorado State, Joe Parker. Joe, you've seen a lot of crazy arenas. You've seen it all. The crazy crowds filling it up. When you look at Moby Madness, and man, I was so shocked to see the students turn out when the ice was everywhere. Man, they're like the mailman. You know, rain or shine, they're coming to the games. They're going to be at Moby Arena. Do you look at Moby and say, man, this place can really be magic, where teams are absolutely petrified to come to Fort Collins to play basketball?
When our arena is full, it's the best in the conference. You know, I've seen a lot of incredible basketball when I was in the Big 12. You know, spent a lot of time in Fog Allen, spent a lot of time in Gallagher-Iba. You know, just incredible places to watch a college basketball game. And I would say the environment that's being created right now in Moby Arena, particularly with the showing of our students, is as good as anything I've ever seen in the country. You know, as long as you've got near-capacity crowds and they're loud and they're understanding their role, which our students and our crowd really recognizes what the advantage they can deliver to our team. You know, it's what we refer to as Moby magic and Moby madness, for sure.
Yeah, and it's exciting. There's no doubt about it. And there's been some already this season. There's just been some epic games. We'll see if we're going to get one of those CSU Nevada games that we had 2 years ago. That was absolutely incredible. So maybe I don't know if my heart can take those close games anymore, though. I kind of like seeing, you know, 10, 12 point. But I'll settle for an Isaiah Stevens game winning shot. I have no problem with that.
Yeah, any way you can get it done. Yeah, the stress test, you know, it's a little bit easier if you're not on the treadmill getting your heart tested. So.
Joe, talk to us a little bit about this transition from football this last season to basketball. How important, though? I mean, we know football wasn't what we all wanted it to be, and obviously you guys have moved on in a completely different direction with the coaching staff. But when you look at that, it's got to be such a big thing to be able to turn that page to the basketball side and say, all right, these programs, and like we said, both men's and women's, are really putting great products out on the floor.
Yeah, you know, we football gets a lot of the focus for what we do, not here, but almost everywhere else where you're playing FBS football, and that's understandable. And you know, we're working hard to get that program performing at a higher level with consistent winning. But yeah, it is also nice to turn the page on a tough fall in football and get a chance to focus on the success that we're having on court. You know, Tom Hilbert in volleyball did a tremendous job this past season. And, you know, our Olympic sports have always performed really well. Bedard in track and field, and our women's swimming team right now is undefeated with 14 dual wins. So, you know, it's a good time to be a Ram. You know, since 2015, we've won more conference championships than any other school in the Mountain West.
Wow. Congratulations to you guys, by the way. I mean, it is amazing. And we've talked about that a lot on this program about, like you said, football does get a lot of that attention, but you do need, you know, paying attention to a lot of these other programs that are doing really great things. There's no doubt you guys have been leading in that across the state and really teams across the country. Talking about kind of mixing the two with Moby Madness, Moby Magic, as you said, mixing those two together with football. Jay Norvell, I mean, he looked like a student out there the other night, Joe. He was having a blast. That had to be so great for obviously everybody to see, but for you to see. You make a very tough decision. You guys as an organization make a very tough decision to move on from your current coach Adazio, to move on or to go to Jay Norvell, and to see him in the stands like that having fun. We had him on the program. Man, I want to buy every single book that he wrote about wide receivers. I just want to own every single one.
Yeah, Jay's you know, a remarkable talent in the coaching space. You know, spent a long time crafting his approach to leadership of a football program. Been mentored by some incredible people in his career, and you know, it's proven that, you know, he can lead a program in the Mountain West. And we're thrilled to have him here. And what's best is he's equally thrilled to be here. And you saw that. You see it any time that, you know, you're around him. Any stakeholder group that we put him in front of, but particularly that basketball game, it was just, you know, he is drawing on the energy of the crowd, really appreciates what our students do, and and obviously was encouraging them to think a lot about the fall and what they can do to make our football team even better by being there and supporting them.
Joe, is there a big difference, a massive difference compared to maybe the buy-in that Jay Norvell is showing to the community and the school and everything compared to the last go-around with the last head coach?
I don't want to reflect too much on the past, but you know, I think Jay's he's a very tradition guy, but also has a lot of enthusiasm for not only his players, but, you know, the program. I mean, he's been nonstop with meetings, not only getting to know the roster and obviously identifying prospects and recruits that can make a difference for our program, but I don't think he's had, you know, a vacant 15 minutes in his calendar since he's arrived here with meeting with external stakeholder groups, you know, connecting with our letter winners, making sure that people understand that, you know, he wants to be an important part of this community and a great university citizen.
There's just so much to it, isn't there? I mean, there's football, there's recruiting, there's all that, but there's so many things that go into it. I love the coordinators and the coaches, the assistant coaches too. See their Twitter game, Joe. I mean, their Twitter game is just it's so much fun. It's so entertaining. Matt Mummy in particular, the offensive coordinator. I'm having a blast following these guys.
Yeah, I think, you know, that's certainly a dynamic of what's important to engaging a fan base, and I think those guys understand it. You know, one of the first things that they started thinking through was, you know, what would be their strategy, what would be their approach in the social media space, you know, and they blend it in perfectly. I mean, it's not like they, you know, that they had to reprioritize. It's just something that they easily integrate into their experience each and every day. I mean, it's a part of the vernacular that they practice. You know, it's the language that they speak. I think that's indicative of just, you know, having a little bit of a younger lean on the demographic for who he hired, and they really understand the value of creating you know, engagement in the social media space. So, but they also understand they got to win games.
Yeah.
You know, they got to come here and get a group of kids to buy in make a commitment to CSU and play hard and play well and play smart. And, you know, I think what we saw in men's basketball over the last 4 years, you know, that's where I think the direction this program is going to go under Jay Norvell's leadership.
Is that part, and just a couple more for you, Joe, and we'll let you go. Is that kind of part of that process now? And maybe it always has been, but you're asking coaches, you know, about their marketing. We've said this on the show all the time. If you're a head coach of a program, you're marketing that team. You have to try to market, whether that's doing interviews, whether that's tweeting, going to events and that kind of thing. How much of that factors in to those conversations? Because you got to, like you said, a basketball staff that certainly does a lot of that, and you got this football staff that already, right off the bat, they're everywhere. How much of that takes place in that interview process nowadays?
You know, I mean, you get a pretty good sense of it just by, you know, exploring what they're already doing at their previous place, right? So, you know, that was something I think that Jay and his staff were practicing when they were you know, part of the Wolfpack, and now that they're part of CSU, they're obviously carrying that forward. But it's important. I mean, everything that they do, you know, has to be very intentional and very well thought out, and you know, rolls up to, you know, a comprehensive strategy that's going to build success across the entire program, academically, athletically, and you know, ultimately, you know, it's our job to, you know, the forward-facing piece of what we do is sports entertainment. And, you know, we understand that. We're going to make sure that that's a deliverable. But, you know, ultimately what they're doing and what I love about Jay is that he's developing young men through the experience of being a Division I football player here at Colorado State. And that's the approach that every one of our coaches has. They're viewed first and foremost as educators.
How much pressure is there on this coaching staff to get it right? I mean, is there a timetable that you put on this situation, or are you just looking at it right now? Hey, year by year, let's see where we are. How much pressure really is there on this staff?
Oh, we've got to fix it, right? I mean,
yeah.
Football is an important piece to the department, to the university. I think we've gotten it right with this hire. I think Jay's going to work tirelessly until he delivers wins and championships to Colorado State.
And last one for you, Joe. I mean, we're, like I said, Twitter, we're all feeling it. We're seeing it, Moby. We're seeing Jay Norvell running around. We're seeing great videos. Is it like an obvious feeling you're getting in the community that people are extremely excited about the football program?
Yeah, I mean, it flipped pretty quickly on the decision. You know, we knew we had to do an expeditious search, and I knew he'd be received positively by the community, but, you know, it's hard to anticipate exactly how people are going to respond. What I want to see most is people, you know, making a tangible choice to be a part of our game days. I mean, that's when we're going to recognize that, you know, that we're on the right path. I mean, just like what we're experiencing in basketball right now, you know, crowds and loud crowds are important to the overall experience. Our students, even last year, certainly for the first half of the season in football, were extraordinary with their support of the program. So, you know, we're going to work through the spring and summer to make sure that we deliver, you know, sellout crowds at Canvas Stadium.
Well, Joe, you know what? Congratulations to you. I'm excited about this hire. We had a chance to talk to Coach Norvell. We always get to talk to Coach Medved on a regular basis, and we appreciate it. We absolutely love it, and we're pumped. We are very excited to see what the future holds for football, and we're having the time of our lives watching Colorado State. We get another one tonight. I'm glad they moved it to 7, though. I got to tell you, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
From 9 to 7 is nice.
That was a gift from our broadcasting partner. So very nice. Thank you.
All right, Joe, appreciate you, man. I know you're a busy guy. Anytime we can get you on the program is an absolute honor, and we'll look forward to catching up with you soon.
All right, you bet. Thanks, Brady.
All right, thank you. That's Director of Athletics for Colorado State, Joe Parker. Listen, that guy, I want to say this, that guy, we didn't have enough time to get into it, but he was put through the ringer during football season. He really was, and I was pretty clear on where I stood on the hire of Steve Adazio. Was it the sexiest hire in the history of the world at the time? No, but I got it. It made sense. How many football programs go do the opposite of what they did before that didn't work? Okay, you go Mike Bobo, never been a head coach before, so you're going to try this defensive-minded guy, this kind of win-in-the-trenches kind of guy that's, you know, more or less a 500 guy. In a Power 5 school. So I got it. It made sense. Last year was COVID year. Okay, so you can't make any decisions based off that. Then this year was awful. This year was just absolutely terrible. But what are you going to, you know, what are you absolutely going to do during the season? You're not going to fire him during the season. It wasn't going to happen. So I do got to say, man, for all the stuff that he was getting, for all the crap that he was getting, and I'm not saying it wasn't warranted with Adazio, because Adazio turned out to be that bad for CSU, to turn around and make that hire, whether it works out or not, this was the move. This was the move. I am so excited about this Jay Norvell move. I'd put my popularity, whatever, reputation on the line for that. I think that this is the right move. So for everything that he went through in that fall, you know, obviously he hired Nico Medved, and people say, oh, that was a slam dunk. It was obvious. Okay, well, I mean, it was obvious for John Elway to draft Von Miller, too. You can not do it, because then John Elway didn't draft Josh Allen. See, you can make the bad decisions. Some good things are happening at Colorado State. And this is the thing. Like, a lot of Rams fans just... So most of you can. Most of you do get it. Like, great things are happening. There's no reason to be bitching and moaning anymore. But there's still that bunch that's like, yeah, but I don't know. It's there's going to be pressure. That's why I asked him that. He's not shying away from it. There's going to be pressure on football. And I think that, spring date. I didn't get the date, did I? Spring football. My bad, Smitty. Get him back on. there's going to be a lot of pressure. I mean, I don't expect. Do you expect the bowl season next year? Got to see what happens with this last signing day coming up. Was it next week? See how that goes. Probably going to go a lot of defense. 38 minutes after the hour. We're going to get this right this time, Jadeen. Let's jump out of here real fast and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to the whole show on 1310 KSKA.
Forty-four minutes after the 1 o'clock hour, welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. We're getting set to have a 9-hour segment with Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos. Well, what would we talk about 9 hours, Zach? I don't know, man. We talk about a lot of stuff.
You got to get philosophical, right? And then you also probably got to have a steak or maybe even two in that amount of time.
Yeah, so, like, what is that process like? I mean, I guess it's the norm, right? It's always funny when you hear, hey, George Payton, Nathaniel Hackett, they're meeting for 9 hours, essentially. So I do wonder, okay, obviously you're talking football, philosophy, personnel, all that stuff, but there's got to be a lot of stuff in between.
Oh, there's a lot of stuff in between. And for this one, when they fly him into town to Denver, they show him the facilities, and, you know, that's a big tour. But then he also gets to meet and shake hands with a lot of people around the organization. And that's probably maybe even the most important part. It's just seeing how he interacts with everyone from all levels of the organization, meeting with other top executives, just getting a feel from everyone in the organization about how they feel about him. And then, of course, they do also share a meal. And just it's another way to see who this guy is beyond just a head coach. And then, of course, you also do talk about the X's and O's as well. But this is really an opportunity for the head coach to sell himself as a person, as a leader to the organization. And it's also an opportunity for the organization to sell themselves to him, and especially not so much with Nathaniel Hackett, but with Dan Quinn. The Broncos are going to be selling them just as much as he's going to be selling himself to the Broncos.
Yeah, that's the interesting one, right? I mean, it feels like with Dan Quinn, obviously they've got to compete with a lot of teams, and Nathaniel Hackett too, but Dan Quinn's the name. Nobody's made any decisions yet, right, Zach? So I feel like everybody's waiting to see where Dan Quinn goes.
Yeah, that's exactly how it feels, and it's wild that we're sitting here 16 days after the Broncos have moved on from Vic Fangio and not a single head coach has been hired. In fact, as the days go on, we just find out about more vacancies. Now we're up to 9 head coaches with, of course, the news of Sean Payton stepping away from the Saints right now. So it really is crazy, and you do feel like Dan Quinn is going to be that first domino to fall. He's going to meet with the Broncos at some point this week, could be as early as tomorrow. And then he also has a second interview planned with, I believe, the Giants are going to want to bring him back for a second interview. The Bears just requested a second interview with him. So things are really heating up with Dan Quinn. If the Broncos have the first second interview with him, meaning they get him in the building before anyone else, if they want him as the coach, they're not going to be able to let him leave without a contract.
Yeah, no question. And I know we talked a little bit about the Saints side of things too with Sean Payton. There's another opening coming up. So again, just more competition out there. You and I have been talking about this for the last couple of weeks. It does seem like Dan Quinn, does he still, in your mind, is he still at the top of the list for the Broncos?
Yes, he still is at the top of the list for the Broncos. But from what I've gathered over the past few days, the entire organization, I should say the entire search committee, is not 100% sold on Dan Quinn. And maybe that's something that brings Kevin O'Connell into the mix next week and a reason why Dan Quinn would come to the facility this week but then leave without a contract is because not everyone is 100% behind that yet. Or maybe Dan Quinn comes in and he eases any concerns that anyone had, and then it's an obvious hire. But yes, Dan Quinn is still the front runner at this time.
Yeah, Dan Quinn, Nathaniel Hackett. I know we've kind of gone back and forth on those guys, Kevin O'Connell as well, but they can't talk to him until after the NFC Championship, right?
Exactly. And that's what makes this just very interesting. If the Broncos wait through this weekend and the Broncos have not hired a coach really by the end of this weekend, Kevin O'Connell will then, in my eyes, turn to the front runner, because that means the Broncos aren't just waiting to potentially have another interview and hire Kevin O'Connell, but that also means that they're okay with Nathaniel Hackett getting another job, with Dan Quinn getting another job. Because look, as much as the Broncos would love to say, hey, Nathaniel Hackett, Dan Quinn, we'll bring you in this week, have an interview, but then we really want to wait until we interview Kevin O'Connell next week. So if you guys could just hold off making any other decisions until next week, I mean, that's pretty much the Broncos telling them, you guys are our backseat to us. We don't care about you at all. So that, to me, if the Broncos do that, they're okay with Kevin O'Connell. Not only okay, but they're telling us that Kevin O'Connell is the front runner.
Wow. Yeah, very interesting there, Zach. Man, I'm ready to see this. Okay, we've only got like a minute left with you, Zach. So you know what time it is. It's rapid fire time. Are you ready?
I love it.
All right, let's do it. Let's hit rapid fire.
Rapid fire.
Oh, that's when you know it's official, when the guy says it like that. Zach, who will be the next head coach for the Denver Broncos?
Dan Quinn, and we'll know in the next 48 hours.
Dan Quinn. Will Aaron Rodgers be a Denver Bronco next season?
He will not.
Not going to be a Bronco. Okay. Will the Broncos start a first-round pick in next year's first game at quarterback?
They will not.
Oh, my goodness. Who will be the starting quarterback for the Denver Broncos to start the season next year?
Man, this is not who I want it to be, Brady, but I'm going to go Kirk Cousins.
Oh, Kirk Cousins. There it is. Oh, my goodness. I love this. We get so many great things. Our producer doesn't like it. Producer JD.
I don't like it either.
Hey, that's the name that you've heard. Okay, that all being said, final question. Are the Broncos a playoff team next year?
Yes. Yes, they are. Kirk Cousins is good enough to make them a playoff team.
There you go. Hey, if you go to the playoffs, I think Broncos country would be all right with that. Zach, appreciate you as always, man. You are a busy individual. You're digging up a lot of this information for us, and we look forward to seeing all of your rapid-fire predictions coming true.
Right on, Brady. Hey, I love it. Maybe the one about the quarterback being a little wrong. But
hey,
I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, I will give you that. We put you. I don't even know if you were ready for that one just yet. So I mean, you know, but actually, it does kind of make sense. So I wouldn't blame you either way. Great work as always, my friend.
Brady, love talking to you. Thanks for having me on.
All right, Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos. Whew, I don't think I could survive rapid fire like that. So I mean, to be honest, we kind of just spring that on him. All right, we do need to take a quick break here. So we'll take a break and we're going to wrap up the show on the other side. Jam-packed show today. Wow, that was fun. Joe Parker, Zach Stevens, Broncos talk, Rams talk, baseball, Hall of Fame, performance-enhancing drug talk. Who doesn't want a good performance-enhancing drug talk? I mean, that's always fun. We'll take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1, 1310, KFKA.
Follow NoCo Preps Hoops with Preps Radio on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, I'm Darren Dunn, Director of Athletics at the University of Northern Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show, 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back in. 6 minutes left until we... about a minute left until we're done here. But then the top of the hour, we're going to get you over to Betting Across America. Love to see start kind of getting a feel for what Pritchard and the gang think about the NFC and AFC championship games coming up this weekend. They're talking everything, though. They're hitting college basketball, pro basketball, hockey even. Just, you know, things that are popular when it comes to sports gambling. That's Betting Across America. Then the Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary coming up. We have the UNC Coaches Show tonight at 6 o'clock. Aaron Rath, you've heard him on our football coverage with Jerry Schimmel, is filling in tonight. So looking forward to that live from the GOAT tonight at 6 o'clock. That's going to do it for us. It is a busy basketball night. You have the Nuggets taking on the Pistons at 5 o'clock. CSU playing host to the Nevada Wolfpack at 7 o'clock on FS1. Oregon and hosting CU at 8 o'clock on the Pac-12 Network. Whew! Should be a fun night of basketball. Let's see if we can get it done. That's going to do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.